The Free Library of Philadelphia is proud to present a podcast from our award-winning author events series, recorded live at the Parkway Central Library on the Benjamin Franklin Parkway. To learn more about the Free Library, our unique and inspiring collections, and how your contribution can help our programs and services for the community, please visit freelibrary.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Amy Schumer and Laura Kovacs to the Free Library of Philadelphia.
I just got here from New York, and I just want to say that I wore sweatpants and obviously no bra in the car and didn't know what I was wearing until I got here, and so I did not mean to dress like a sister wife. Before I came out here, was like, I look like such a dickhead, but that's the price. Yes, thank you. That's what I was fishing so hard for compliments. Thanks for coming, you guys. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right, welcome Hi. To the Free Library of Philadelphia. Hi.
Why is it called the Free Library?
Because all are welcome.
Okay, and other libraries still have segregation.
Right.
Thank God.
First question from the audience. How are you today, and what was your morning routine like?
Oh, how am I today? I am depleted. Well, we're going to keep it real in here, right? You know, it's like, this is my first time doing press for a book, my book. So it's like, it'll be questions like, they're like, when did you know you were funny? And then like, talk about your sexual assault. And you're like, okay. So it's just like a lot. It's different for me. So. And I finished filming a movie with Goldie Hawn in Hawaii like 24 hours ago. Thank you. Biggest dream of my life. I had to seriously chase her around for months for her to agree to do it. But I feel pretty tired. And my morning routine was that I was supposed to wake up at 8, and then I text the girls coming over to do my hair and makeup at 8, and I said 8:15. And then at 8:15, I said 8:45, and they said okay. So then I sat there, and they did things to me, and then I got in the car, but I brushed my teeth.
Thank you. Can you please continue to intentionally fall in front of celebrities?
That's a fair question. I vow today, in front of all of you at this finally free library, to continue to fall in front of celebrities. I went to a wedding this past weekend, and down in front, ma'am. That's my publicist, that's my manager, and also, and that's Casey Dumont, who's my sister-in-law who wrote the book with me. Yeah, bitch. That's right, bitch. I could not have done it without her. I got everyone's attention at the wedding, and it was like my boyfriend's friends. Like, it was not my friends, you know? But I still got myself to the point where I was drunk enough that I made everyone get in a circle, well, like on the dance floor, and I acted like I was going to do the worm, you know? And everybody gets, like, really excited. You know, because everybody loves to see the worm at a wedding. And everyone's in a circle, and they're like, yeah. And then I, like, just laid down flat on my face. And I just laid there until people started to walk away. Because I can't do the worm. So I think there's nothing. That's my favorite thing. So I promise I'll keep falling and being an asshole.
You said on Facebook that you wish you could have sex with all your fans.
I did?
Does that offer still hold?
Wow. To be honest, I don't run my own Facebook, but I do my own Instagram and Twitter, but I should maybe check in. I think my sister runs it, actually, which is... I would love to have sex with everybody. With the level of yeast infection I currently have, I feel like I have had sex with everybody. You're looking at someone with a Amber Alert yeast infection. It's like... I mean, I got it in, like, the fun way, but it's still very much alive up here.
That...
What was the question?
That leads us to our next question, which is, good. Someone in the audience has a dog who has just received her third UTI. Any suggestions for her?
This is very related. Yeah, that dog needs to pee right after sex. Like... Make sure your dog goes right to the bathroom and does not cuddle. That sucks. How do you even know if your dog has a UTI? Like, is it that they can't pee? Or, like, your dog can't be like, you know, like, oh my God, a UTI. But anyway, I'm so sorry. Maybe just put it down. No, I'm just kidding. Schumer.
And moving right along, what is the dumbest question you've been asked at events like this?
Oh, God. Well, you know, it's not so much dumb, but it's like there's the kind of question where people just want to, like, you to think they're smart and great, and that's, like, the reason. Like, this guy yesterday, I don't even know what... He's like, so I'm a photographer. And, like, right there, you're like, no one cares, you know? Well, I don't even know what the question was. It was so bad that I don't even remember it. He just was saying observations, and we were like, uh-huh, okay, thank you. But stupid question. Well, you know, this is in the book, spoiler. But when I was doing press for Trainwreck in Berlin, the interviewer asked me why I thought it was okay to make people uncomfortable. And as he asked that, I looked down and I could see that he had not one, but both testicles clear. He had a hole in his pants and I could see they were both exposed. He didn't mean to. And Vanessa Bayer was next to me and I said, sir, I don't want to make you uncomfortable, but can you please cover your lap? And he looked down, oh, and then what was I asking you? I said, you were asking why I thought it was okay. Yeah. Thank you. No, get out of here.
From the audience, do you consider yourself a feminist?
No. What? Guys. Of course, any sane person believes in equality for women. It's just such a, can you believe that we even still have to ask that? And it is disappointing when you hear a celebrity be like, okay. I'm like, I'm a human, shut the fuck up. It's just, it's so annoying that it's still a thing. But yes, of course, I'm a feminist.
What line in the book are you most proud of?
This is a good follow-up question to the feminist question. There are journal entries in the book where it's like excerpts from journal entries when I was younger, and I don't know which age it is. It's like 22 or 18. Okay, and I like went home with a guy or brought him home with me, and we hooked up, and he was like, I don't know if you've encountered this, but. Like some guy, he's one of those guys who's like super aggressive and you have to like kind of be on your guard because they like want to do all this weird shit to you. And he was like, first of all, he was like trying to shock me. No one had ever tried to put any sort of a finger in my butthole. And I was just like 22, you know, and I was just kind of like, why? Like, why would you do, like, no, I don't love you. It's like, the guy I dated for years, I didn't let you, so... And so anyway, and then at one point, he was, I don't even know how this was physically possible. He was trying to put his toes in my vagina. And I have a line in the book, and so I'm like, right, you know, annotating the journal entry, and I just wrote, like, something like, I barely know you, like, please don't try and use my vagina as your own personal moccasin, or something like that. It was something like that, and me and Casey, we were, like, crying laughing when we thought of that line. And that's my favorite line, I don't know.
It really is a beautifully written book.
Thank you. Eloquent.
What was going through your mind before and after Madison Square Garden?
Oh, so that was the best night of my life. Before, my whole family was there, and Casey's daughter, my little niece, was just running around, and she's like, I want to go on stage. And the house was open, but it wasn't full yet, and we were like, okay. So, well, you know, in sweats and whatever, we're up there, and she's just kind of walking around like she owns the joint. And just thinking about all this travel and stage time and everything, and just all the work that it was like for this moment. And I just couldn't wait to get up there. Yeah, and then after, I was thinking, like, let's get fucked up. Yeah.
Understandable.
Yeah.
What do you do when you're sad?
What do you do when you're sad? She asked. Sometimes I'm like, let me just keep myself sad for a minute and not try and just shake it off because so it doesn't like manifest itself physically. But I call my girlfriends. I call mostly my girlfriends, but some just people that make me laugh and that we can just kind of laugh at ourselves, you know. I was kind of sad last night and I called my friend Kyle and who's a writer on the show, and he was just, yeah, he just, like, made me laugh, and then I could go to bed feeling better. Just, yeah, calling my friends.
Are there any comedians who would scare you if you heard they were participating in your Comedy Central roast?
Oh, my God, yes. Jim Norton, Dave Attell, all my best friends, actually. Yeah, my best friends. Rachel, Nikki, Bridget, Robert Kelly, Keith Robinson. It's Doug Stanhope, Louis, Chris Rock, Seinfeld. Yeah, just the people who know, they know me so well, they could like really specifically insult me in ways that only your good friends would know how to do it. And Chelsea Peretti. I would just run for the fucking hills, yeah. Also one of my best friends, yeah.
You've had tremendous success, yet still a long career ahead of you. What are your career goals for the next 5, 10, 20 years?
I think everyone in this room can tell that I'm hanging on by dental floss, which I don't use. And I just heard a study. I just, like, read a study that, like, it might not be good for you. And I was like, yes! I knew it! I have no goals. Like, for real, from the bottom of my heart, do not have any goals. I've already done a lot more than I thought was possible for me. Thank you. Yeah, and now look at me. I'm at the only free library in the United States of America. I want to just keep working, and I love like supporting my friends and other, you know, just women who I think are hilarious and like helping them get their work off the ground.
Who's the next woman that you think should headline Madison Square Garden?
Me in October. Yeah, I get to go back there. I think also my friend Bridget Everett. Right? She's gotta get there. She's the most amazing performer, funniest, but just like the voice of an actual angel. So, yeah, I'd love to open for Bridget there.
Meryl Streep just named you as the one to play her in a biopic.
I know. Is there a question
That's
or no?
All.
I wrote that one. No, just kidding. Can you imagine? I was just like, what? Like, I just, I'm like, am I, did I take like ketamine or something? Like, how am I? It's the best. And then people are like, is it happening? I'm like, no, she's alive. And like, well, thank God. But biggest compliment. Meryl fucking Streep.
What's the best pickup line that you've used?
Well, you know, I'll say for women, it's not hard. but like we don't, you know, I don't, none of the women, and I'm friends with very open women, but no one ever goes out like trolling for cock. You know what I mean? It's like, it's not, it's like you can have sex if you want to. I believe that's true. But I, well, the chapter on my one night stand, I was pretty proud of my line for him. But that was a series of events, me pretending like I was scared, even though there was no turbulence. And him saying, like me joking that I'd been discovered at my show that night. This guy I just met on a plane. And he's like, by who? And I was like, a magician. And he goes, is he gonna saw you in half? And I said, I was hoping you would. Bam! Close the deal. But you know, sometimes I like to, sometimes do a funny one. If I'm like next to another girl, I'll go up to a guy and I'll go, hi, have you met me? But yeah, it's a lot harder for men, I think. Like, I can't think of anything a guy could say right now that I wouldn't be like, get the fuck out of here.
If you could do a project with anybody in the world, who would it be?
A project? Can, like, chefs just, like, cook for me? That's not really me doing anything. A project. I'd love to do a play with Samantha Morton. You guys are like, oh, who's that? yeah, I guess go Google who she is. But Mark Rylance. I think they're the best two living actors, and I think I would like learn so much, and it would be a cool thing. He's the BFG.
What advice would you give to women wanting to be successful in male-dominated fields?
So, fields. so, all fields. I don't know what it's like to be in other fields, but I know that the thing that I think connects all of us is that I think it's harder for women to ask for what they want because we're supposed to be so accommodating and passive. It's kind of what's expected and that we're supposed to want to be liked, which is something I've never experienced. but, you know, it's like just in the same way that I really feel entitled to have an orgasm if I'm gonna have sex with someone. It doesn't have to come from sex. It like never does, but like you're gonna have to like rub my clit first. You're gonna have to, or go down, like make sure that I come too so I don't hate you. And I think that's how it is in the workplace too. It's just we're so used to being like, no, I'm just so happy and it's an honor to be under you. It's like, no, I want this. I don't want any more than you. I don't want to come more than you. I want equal pay and equal come. My publicist is like, oh God.
Which team is doing better this year, the Fire Island Penguins or the Orlando Blooms?
I think they're both excelling this year. I That was my favorite. When I thought of that joke for Trainwreck, just like, because I really don't know any teams. Like, you know, it was just so fun to come up with fake names of teams. Because, and it just really makes you realize, like, just how stupid all team names are. Like, the Mariners. Like, you're just like, what? Like, this is so stupid. Yeah, it was, like, in kind of a mean-spirited way, it was fun for me to make fun of sports in that movie and men wearing jerseys of other men. Like, it was just fun to kind of point out, like, this is fucking really lame, you guys.
Someone says, I so admire you as a role model for girls with your obvious pride in your body. Have you always been so comfortable with it?
Yeah, like it's funny. There's in the book, there's one journal entry where I am 19 or something. And I'm like, I write that I decide that I'm going to develop an eating disorder. Like, I decide. I'm like, I'm sick. I want to feel like a really hot girl. And I'm like, I want to know what that feels like. Like, I kind of, and so I make a plan and I'm kind of like already, like, it's so, it's my vision of myself was so distorted. Like, I would be like, I would just write in a journal, like, I looked amazing today, you know, just, and it was like, no, I definitely didn't. And, so I was like, I'm going to develop an eating disorder. And then I was like, I hope I can recover from it quickly. Like, it was like writing this out. And then, and it was like, because I feel really bad about my body right now. I've like gained weight. And it was when I was dating the abusive guy. And he would make me feel bad about my body. And then it was like the next entry. I'm like, I can't believe I ever thought that shit. I love my body. I feel fucking strong and sexy. So it's like, it's just this constant thing, I think, throughout life where it's like you just want to get those periods of self-hate down to less and less. What was the question? Oh, my body. Okay. So, yeah, and like my sister and I do this thing where when we're feeling like, oh my God, I can't like buckle my shoe right now because my stomach is in the way. And I'll be like, and then my sister does the same thing with her belly, and then we kind of pat each other's bellies, and we go like, and we kind of like nod and smile, and are like, yeah, we're good. So I have ups and downs with how I feel about it, but I've found a pretty good level of, as long as I feel strong and healthy, that I don't give a shit. And I really have learned that in terms of the worry of people being attracted to you, I really believe it's so much more just about how you feel. And yeah, it's like if you're dating someone who's like, I think you've like gained like 5 pounds, then it's like, oh, okay, well, like, does that make you not? Like, well, how about what if your dick got that much bigger? That would be great for me, you know? It's just like, guys don't care. They just want to like put their penises in our butts. Like, they don't care. They don't care how, seriously, we worry so much about how we look, and we're like, oh my, do you like my, and they're like, I want to have sex with your butt, like, and I'm like, should I get highlights? Like, they don't care. They don't care. You just have to feel good.
This is something you address in the book. There was a shooting at a screening of Trainwreck. How has that impacted your thinking about the state of this country?
It definitely opened my eyes. Yeah, unfortunately, I think we're all like upset about gun violence, but until something feels more personal, I had never thought about getting involved. And then when I heard that there had been a shooting there, it just like fucked me up and broke my heart in a way that I wouldn't have even seen coming. Just that it always would kill me when you hear about something at a movie or something, like where people just went to have a nice time and then are met with that kind of violence or death. And it made me so sad and then so angry at how unnecessary it was, and that it was such a preventable situation, because he was completely mentally ill, and he went to one state and they wouldn't sell him a gun, and then he went to another and they would, because of these like kind of loopholes in the system that makes it easy. And so I got educated about just the laws as they are right now, and how, and the hypocrisy of them, and it opened my eyes. I just didn't know. I didn't know how just all these politicians are in the NRA's pocket, and then it was also kind of encouraging to find people like the people at Everytown who are working to end gun violence. And so it's really still sad, and there's so much work to do, and we need to keep working on it. But it is an encouraging time too, where it seems like things could really change, especially if we elect Hillary, which we are. I'm just guessing. I know you're like, oh, we wanted Bernie. Well, it's Hillary. What are you gonna vote? Come on, you can't. And just not voting is like basically voting for Trump. So just get real. So yeah, I didn't know that if you've been convicted of domestic abuse, that you could buy a gun, and I didn't know that if you are, you know, in several. I mean, if you're on the terrorist watch list, you can legally buy a gun. Like, you know, like you can't fly, but you can, you know. So these people are like, get out of our country, but while you're here, please enjoy our firearms legally. You know, it's like, what? There are states where if you're blind, you can buy a gun. Like, you can't see anything, but you can walk into a gun store, hopefully. And be like, I want a gun. And they're like, we're over here. And you go, oh, okay. You buy a gun. I didn't know that. So, but at the end of my book, I list all the different people that have received money from the NRA.
I congratulate you on this book. I can't wait to see what you do next. We've got one last question from the audience.
Okay.
This is an easy one.
We'll see.
What do you like to do when you are not performing or filming?
Nothing. Like, I love doing nothing, for real. Just, like, sitting there. I like, if I had the day free, I would go and buy a scone and then eat said scone while walking around Central Park, just kind of loops around the reservoir very slowly, which I consider working out. And then, yeah, I like to be with my family. I like to stare at my niece. My niece, not my niece. It's just so fun. And she's not mine, so I can just be like, oh, she's crying. It's so interesting to be around a kid. Like, we went to this little like splash park the other day in Chicago, and it's like all these little kids, and she like has her bucket and like a shovel, and she's filling it up, and this like little boy comes over and just like takes the bucket, and she was just like, you know, couldn't fucking believe it. And I'm like, that's so traumatic. Like, she was just robbed. Like, you know, and at that age, like, all she cares about in the world is her bucket. Like, that would be like someone, like, just burning down your house, you know? Like, it's just like, and she just, and it was like so amazing to see that, you know? And so my brother and I were like, it's okay to say to someone, no, this is mine. You know, you should share if you know them, but if you don't, and that has really backfired. And now she's not sharing shit, but but yeah, just being with family and hanging out. But thank you so much. You guys were such a pleasure to be with. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Free Library of Great Conversations. If you live in Philadelphia or are planning a visit and would like to attend an author event, information on the series is available at freelibrary.org/authorevents.